The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, all week long, our first reading is coming to us from the Book of Wisdom. And you might know a few things about the Book of Wisdom, but just in case you don't, the Book of Wisdom, the newest book in the Old Testament, they say that it was written about 100 BC, give or take, which makes it absolutely shiny, showroom new. Compared to the other books in the New Testament, let's take the book of Exodus, for example, or the book of Genesis. They estimate that that was written as early as 1450 BC. So Wisdom is a brand new book, and you also consider that the entirety of the New Testament was written within about 100 years of Jesus dying and rising. And it's a remarkably brand new book. There's many themes in the Book of Wisdom, and one of the biggest themes in Wisdom is justice. And that's what you hear about today. It's our first reading. It talks about justice for those who exercise authority in God's name. The kings and the princes, the rulers and the mighty ones of the earth. For those who exercise authority in God's name. We just stop and pause about that idea for just a moment. Are you aware that all authority in the world, and without exception, all authority comes from God? Now you hear that and you say, "Hey, wait a minute. Could have sworn I learned somewhere back in school, somewhere in my social studies, history, civics, government class, that authority comes from the consent of the people. Authority comes from the governed." Are you aware that's not really true? Let me explain why. If authority came from the people, then the people, by popular vote, could do anything they wished, and it would be just. If it was a popular enough measure, we could vote slavery back into existence. And because authority comes from the people, that would be just and good, by definition. Or if we wanted to, if it was popular enough, we could all vote concentration camps into existence and round up all of our political enemies and dissidents and put them away where we won't see them again. And by definition, if authority really comes from the people, if it comes from the consent of the governed, that would be just fine, and yet you know it's not just fine. How do you know it's not just fine? How do you know? Where does that idea that it's wrong come from? One of my favorite examples to make this point is the judgments at Nuremberg. Here's hoping everybody knows about the war crimes tribunals at the end of World War II in Nuremberg. And they took the highest-ranking Nazi officials in the Second World War, and they put them on trial for war crimes and crimes against humanity. And to a person, without exception, they all uttered the same defense. "I was only following orders," they said. Did the court exonerate them because of that defense? Did the court say, "Well, that's okay. Your authority told you it was okay. That's all. You go in peace." No. What did they say? They said some form of this. They said, "You should have known there's a higher law than your authority." Where does that higher law come from? This is what I mean when I say all authority comes from God. And all those who exercise authority, do so in God's name. Now, the Book of Wisdom was written to Jewish people who had just lived through terrible persecutions at the hands of authorities, and it was written to comfort them that the judgment on these authorities would be swift and stern, that it would be terrible. If you were a king or a mighty one of the world, the message of the Book of Wisdom is, get thee to a confessional and that right soon. Because there's a judgment coming. There's an inversion coming. The last are going to be first. The first are going to be last. He's going to cast down the mighty from their thrones and lift up the lowly, and you will not be disappointed. And it's comforting to know that, right? I'll agree. It's comforting to know that at the end of all things, there's going to be a balancing of the books. But here's the question of the day. What am I supposed to do to get through today, in which there isn't justice and there isn't a balancing of the books? How do I make my way spiritually through a world that's still waiting for God's justice to be revealed? Two ideas to share with you today. Here's the first. It comes from St. Catherine of Siena, in one of her wisest quotations. She once said, "Pray as though everything depends on God. Act as though everything depends on you." Very wise words. But what we need to remember is that we all favor one side of that quotation or another. We all favor either the praying side or the acting side of that idea. And if you want to be ready for the judgment, favor your weaker side. That's the message. You know, if you're the sort that shows up to daily mass, you're probably better at the side of pray as though everything depends on God. And there's nothing wrong with that. Until you stop and recognize that there's a terrible moral fault. It's known as quietism. And I think a lot of us are guilty of it. Quietism is the idea that God's justice will be established without any real effort on your part at all. You just got to sit back and watch it happen. And that's a heresy. There is good that will not be done unless you cooperate. And we are called to action, to bring about the justice that God wants to bring about. And then there's the other side of the equation. Act as though everything depends on you. And you know, there's certain people, they're out there, they're politically active, and God bless them. I'm really not one of them. I thank God that these people are out there. But they need to learn a lesson. That if they knew how much God did compared to what they did, they might despair to recognize that God is in charge of all things. And the very best that we do is cooperate. And here's the other idea to share with you as you're waiting for the last judgment, the last justice to be revealed. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, and I mean all of them. Understand that God does not cause evil to happen. But you must believe that he works through it. So sometimes people have a hard time giving thanks to God in all circumstances because they think they're giving thanks to God for, I don't know, maybe a death in the family or something along those lines. God doesn't cause evil, but please know and believe and choose to believe he does work through it. It leads to something that I like to call the scandal of the specific. Now, I looked this up to try to find who the source of was for that quotation, and I can't find it anywhere, so I have a feeling maybe I coined the phrase myself. The scandal of the specific goes something like this. We all say that we want God's will, right? If I were to ask you right now, sitting where you are in the pew, do you want God's will? 9 out of 10 of you in daily mass, you'd say the same thing. You'd say, of course I want God's will. I surrender my life to God's will. And we all want that as long as it's nice and vague and abstract. But the moment it becomes specific, the moment it becomes this illness or this death in the family, the moment that it becomes this traffic jam or this canceled flight, the moment that it becomes this incompetent government or this poorly, sadly weak church leadership, suddenly we're scandalized. You say, well, it couldn't possibly be God's will. Please understand this. God doesn't cause evil, but he sure does work through it. And we need to choose to believe that. One of my favorite ideas comes from St. Jose Maria Escriva. He says, give thanks to God for the things that go wrong. And how can he say that? Number one, it's an act of faith. Number two, in God's reckoning, even the things that go wrong are going to turn out to the right. You're not going to make it to heaven without carrying a cross. You already know that, but here's the trouble. We all want a cross of our own choosing, and you don't get one. There's one cross and one cross only that will get you to heaven, and that's the cross that God has chosen for you. So pray, act, give thanks, and when the judgment comes, you will be ready. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Joseph, pray for us.